So I just started our recording. Today is Saturday, the first Saturday of October, and this is our free Saturday morning phone support group here at WLS Success Matters. I'm Wendy, also known as Banded Wendy in the weight loss surgery community, and I am one half of WLS Success Matters. Sandy, the other half of us, is actually down at Obesity Health Conference in Southern California this weekend. So I think we have a lot of callers that typically join us that are probably at that event. It's a great event for the community down in Southern California. And I do want to share with everybody that we do this phone support group call twice a month, always the first Saturday of the month at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. And then we do the third Thursday of the month. So our next one is going to be on the 18th of October. And that is in the evening. The Thursday of the month is always in the evening. So that starts at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. So feel free to mark your calendars for those two ongoing dates. You can always check our website. Our website is WLSSuccessMatters.com. And our website has all of our current and future dates for our support group calls, as well as information about all of our other programs and services, our cookbook, our Back on Track program, our Hanging Through the Holidays, weight loss and maintenance group, and additionally, we have podcasts. So we record these calls. You probably heard that recording button announcement. We record these calls and turn them into podcasts. So we have people who listen to them all over the globe, and you can do the same. We've been recording them now for 3 of the 7 years that we've been doing this. We were slow to get started with recording them, but they are there, and there's a number of them. So if you need extra encouragement or motivation, you can always just go right to the website and listen to one of our podcasts at any time that you like. So it is 8:03. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get started with today's call. We have a small group with us today, so I do want to say I appreciate you. I'm real passionate about this work, and I feel honored whenever I have the time to surround myself with like-minded individuals. So that is you, and it's Saturday, and it's October, and it's seasons are changing, and life is changing, and everyone has got a million things to do. So the fact that you made time to spend it with us is really something that we're honored to be a part of. So thanks for being here. Appreciate you. I do want to, for those of you that are new, it sounds like my guess is we have a couple new callers. Who are our new callers out there? I know there's a couple.
Hi. My name is Mackenzie.
Hi, Mackenzie. First time calling in?
Yep.
Wonderful. Are you prepping for surgery?
Yes.
Yeah, so this is one of those things you got to get checked off the list.
Yes.
Yeah, when's your surgery date?
I'm not sure yet. I have an appointment with the bariatric team on October 26th.
Awesome. Exciting. What are you most excited about?
Just changing lifestyle. Finally being back to being me.
Ooh, I love that. So insightful. Well, you are on the right track. I will tell you that Sandy is, I want to say, 14 years post-op, and I am just about 10 years post-op. So between the two of us, we've got a good number of years as weight loss surgery patients. And what you just shared with us about wanting to get back to you is so accurate, right? So exciting. Glad to have you here.
Thanks.
Welcome. Yeah. Anybody else out there that's a first-time caller?
Hi, I'm Brooke.
Brooke. Hi, Brooke. Where are you at on the journey?
I am 9 years post-op, and
awesome.
Unfortunately I've had almost 95% regain. So
okay.
I am starting the Back on Track program that begins Monday night.
Awesome.
Hopefully I can get back on track. I had started the process for revision surgery, but, of course, as you know, some insurances make you wait longer than others, and my plan has a 6-month time period to do the testing, the nutrition, and honestly, I just don't want to wait 10 months or 6 months to start getting some of this weight off.
And the 6 months feels like 10 months. I get it.
Yeah.
And yay for joining the Back on Track program. I think I heard someone give a shout out. It was probably Leanne.
Woohoo!
Yeah. The Back on Track program is phenomenal and certainly is going to give you some guidance as you walk down that road to a revision process, for sure. And I love that 9 years later, this is your first call to us. So just goes to show that wherever you are on the journey, it's okay to realize that you need some help, right? And that you need to be surrounded by others like you. So thanks for being here, Brooke. We look forward to hearing your insight. And I'm going to ask Leanne. I know she's busy out there doing stuff in her house, but Leanne's been working with us and been friends with us for a very long time.
I'm here.
It's not her first time calling, and she's done our Back on Track program. Leanne, you want to add any wisdom to these girls?
Well, I am a repeat customer of Back on Track, and it is fantastic. And I am continually going back to the curriculum. I keep it on my desk. I go back to it. I review it. And it's helped me in other areas of life, not just in my weight loss surgery journey. So
yeah.
Habits are habits, regardless of whether they're affecting our weight loss journey or in other parts of our lives, and you can't exchange habits. So I'm a believer.
There you go. Awesome. Good. So we have a great group of folks with us this morning. That's exciting. The topic that I want to jump into today, and we'll go all around this, right? So success habits, something I want to share with everybody. What Sandy and I have been doing since 2013 is we are bariatric coaches, we are support group leaders, and we are licensees with Bariatric Support Centers International. And BSCI has been around 20 years. And they have created educational curriculum that works with all humans as well as any type of weight loss surgery, and no matter where you are on the journey. And we've created some of our own courses through the years as well. And the most interesting part I want to share is that BSCI, back in the day, partnered with University of Alabama, the Cleveland Clinic, and Stanford to do some research about what made weight loss surgery patients successful, right? And they also had to define what success was, right? How would you determine what a successful patient was? My guess is everybody on this call has the hope or currently is striving for to be successful as a weight loss surgery patient, right? That's why we're here. So I wanted to share that when they did the study, they did a 5-year study, and they looked at all different types of weight loss surgery patients and determined that after 5 years, a patient who had maintained 80% of their excess weight was successful, right? 80% 5 years after surgery date, you've maintained 80% of that excess weight, they consider you highly successful, right? So who doesn't want to be highly successful? I know I'd like to be, right? So what does that mean? What did they do? So they started looking at the habits that these patients lived during that 5 years. And the commonalities that came up were what they were doing as they were living their habits is what made them successful, right? So they created the success habits. And the success habits of weight loss surgery patients come down to the following. Personal accountability. They recognize that they alone are responsible for their successes and their failures. Right? That it's not the outside influences, that it's not the people in our lives, the jobs we have, the hard carrying of, you know, heavy lifting of life that we have to do. It's really about us, that we decide, that we have to take that ownership and that responsibility for ourselves on the journey. So the personal accountability was number one, right? They practiced personal accountability. Another one was vitamins and supplements, that these highly successful patients took good quality vitamins each day to ensure their good health, right? So they took their vitamins and their supplements, and they knew that that mattered for their health. The next one was fluid intake, that they would drink the right amount of the right beverages at the right time each day, right? What are we picking up and putting to our lips throughout the day? So they would drink the right amount of the right beverages at the right time each day for their fluid intake. The next one was portion control, and that's actually what our topic is about today, is portion control. They understood the importance of satiety and listening to their body's signals. This is a big learning curve for me, portion control. They understand the importance of satiety. Do you even know what that word means, right? Satiety. It never came out of my mouth prior to weight loss surgery. So importance of satiety and listening to the body's signals, really being in tune with oneself and understanding the body, right? So that's portion control. The next one was nutrition, that I would make good, healthy food choices each day. This is a big, big, big one, right? Nutrition, make good, healthy food choices each day. And last but not least, one of my personal favorite habits that I've adopted and was one of the hardest to adopt, and not just for me, most people that I work with, is regular exercise. I have adopted the habit of exercise as a part of my lifestyle, right? Regular exercise. I have adopted the habit of exercise as a part of my lifestyle. So these highly successful people that 5 years later had maintained 80% of their excess weight loss lived those habits. Now, the question I have, do you think they lived those habits 100% of the time to be successful? Yes or no?
No.
Anybody? No. Good answer. You want to guess how often they lived those habits, what percentage of time they did?
I would probably say maybe 75 to 80%.
I like your thinking. That's a great stretch goal, right? The actual answer is 50%. So 50% of the time, the highly successful people who were maintaining 80% of their excess weight loss 5 years post-op were practicing those habits at least 50% of the time, right? So the highlight there that I really want everyone to walk away with is that it's not about being perfect, right? There really is no perfection. And we can strive for perfection, right? Without a doubt. If that's your MO, go for it. The key is to mentally not beat yourself up and start sabotaging your efforts if you are not perfect, right? You want to realize that it's okay not to be perfect. The highly successful people aren't perfect. Right? Does that make sense? What you want to be able to do is start incorporating each of those habits, and they will create a lifestyle change. It's not a cliche statement that only the fitness models in magazines are quoted as saying, that it's about a lifestyle. I used to hear that and roll my eyes prior to weight loss surgery, right? But then I took on the effort that I was going to change the way I live, because as one of our new callers stated, she wanted to get back to her, right? I want to get back to me. And so in order to do that, we kind of have to break everything apart and rebuild it. And these success habits are a part of the rebuilding. And as you learn to live each one of them without doubt. Your lifestyle will change. No questions asked, right? And as you build your new lifestyle, these will become habitual. These will become the things you do without thinking, right? Habits are the things we do without thinking. So we have a lot of old habits that may have served us well for a period of time, but we've got to the point that they no longer serve us well. And a lot of times, initially, right out of surgery, right, it's such a big change in the surgical procedure, the recovery process, it seems like we don't even have old habits. But then time moves on. Your weight loss starts happening. You feel like you start to normalize. You're wearing a smaller size than you had wore last year. You're meeting new people. You're doing new things. And then something happens. A parent dies. You lose a job. A child of yours is heartbroken. You fall and injure yourself. Something happens that really makes an impact in your life. And what happens then? A lot of times we fall back on old habits. Does that ever happen to anybody out there?
Yep, okay. That's exactly the position I'm in.
Okay, the shit she's in, right? The shit show, I love it.
I started working from home, and everything changed. I thought I would be more active. I thought, oh, good, I'll have more time to do things, but all of my old habits started to kick back in, and I became more sedentary, and just being home all the time changed everything in the world. So it was probably the worst decision I could have made after surgery.
There you go. And you know what? That's all. She's being authentic, right? Completely honest, transparent, and in tune with herself, right? And that's the point we have to be at, right? Where we're not judging what we've done, but we can certainly take a look at it and from a perspective of what was the change that occurred? What triggered me to go back to these old habits? Right? And we need to be able to pinpoint that. Because part of the process of creating change is to know what we need to change and how we got where we are today. Right? And then we create a plan to move ahead. So I appreciate you sharing that, Brooke. Right?
Thanks. Yep.
Yeah. So habits are really what this is all about. And being willing to embrace the change. Right? It can be really hard to let go of what we've been doing and how we did it and the whys for why we did things. And when we let go of all of what we've done before and look ahead and sit in the now of what we need to do because we surgically altered our bodies to create this change, that's step one. But now we have to be responsible for the follow-through. Our surgical procedure will not do all the work for us, right? You guys have all been told that by your surgeons, right? That you alone are responsible for your success and your failure, not your surgery tool. Anybody heard that?
Yep, absolutely.
There you go. Absolutely. Good. So that's what I want to talk about today is one of those success habits. And here's the thing. I don't think that any of us can work on all of the success habits all at the same time and be good at them. It doesn't work like that, right? We have to build a foundation. We have to work on one at a time. We can be aware of the other ones, and we can do our best effort to learn about them and incorporate them. But I personally have found that I kind of had to become an expert, if you will, in one at a time. And the one that was the hardest for me, right, or the one that was going to make the most impact in my life, I mean, nutrition, I eat every day, right? We have to eat to live. And so I had to learn about nutrition and portion control first, because without those things, I'd be living like I was before. Would you guys agree?
Yes.
Perfect. So that's why I want to start today and really just kind of focus on portion control and the idea of portion distortion. You want to smart size it, don't supersize it, right? So when you guys think about it, portion control, what comes to mind? What's the first thing you think about when it comes to portion control? Anybody?
Wendy, I think about measuring and weighing my food.
How important is that, Leanne?
When you don't do it, you gain weight.
There you go. Ding, 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 ding. Right.
And my eyes are deceiving me. I cannot, as a person who fights obesity, and that's something I'm coping with right now, I am still a results not typical weight loss surgery patient in my seventh year post-op, maintaining over 100 pounds of weight loss. And my eyes, my obesity problem is still a part of who I am, even though I'm an average-sized person. And it causes my eyes to lie to my brain.
Yeah.
And I can't trust my eyes to weigh and measure my food.
Bingo. Totally, totally spot on. Right? Portion control, weigh and measure, and our eyes are still bigger than our stomachs or our pouches or our stomas. Right? And
yeah.
We all love food. I haven't met any of us that doesn't love food, right? So put some food in front of me, and I want to eat all of it. Right?
And I think the longer we are, for myself, the longer out I am, the more creatively deceptive I have become about how to put more food into my body than I need, despite the fact I have a tool to keep me from doing
it. Right. You figure out a way, somehow, some way, you can find a way to get it in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you got to be really aware of that, right, and understand that weight loss surgery and even, you know, as Leanne mentioned, being a much smaller human, having successful weight loss all these years later, she still suffers from obesity. And that and portion control is a big one. When we go to restaurants, the average serving is easily three weight loss surgery meals, if not more, from a portion perspective, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And the average human who is not a weight loss surgery patient easily eats three times more, if not a lot, if not more, than we do at a meal. Right? So if we're eating and living with people who are non-weight loss surgery patients and we're going out to restaurants that are serving non-weight loss surgery portions, it starts to become overwhelming with how much food we have in front of us, right? So weighing and measuring. How many people are doing that today? How many people are weighing and measuring the food?
Not at all for me.
I couldn't hear that. Say that again.
I said not at all for me, and not for the last couple of months. I haven't focused on it at all.
Okay. There's authenticity again. So someone who's not weighing and measuring
I do it when I'm packing. I take my lunch to work every day, and so I do. I'm very thoughtful because it's usually the night before that I'm putting it into the container, and I tend to be more thoughtful about that meal. But when I sit down to make my plate to eat dinner, or if I'm grabbing something on the go, or I'm out to eat, I have not been consistently thinking portion control.
Right. So you've got some of it going on when you have time to plan it and think about it, and you're not necessarily in the place where you're hungry, right?
Exactly. So, it's not when I'm about to eat it, but when I'm in the eating of it, and I know that some of mine is I am not only feeding hunger, I'm feeding emotions, and so I get emotional soothing from food, and I know that about myself. And so when I'm non-emotionally not hungry and I'm packing food to eat another time, I'm in full control. It's not hard for me to do it all.
There you go. So understanding, right, where the challenge is, right? So understanding where the challenge is important, so you can understand where the challenge is, why it occurs, and that allows you to say, okay, this is an area that I need to work on. This is an area of opportunity for me. So that's good. Anybody else want to share? How often are you currently weighing and measuring? Anybody? Okay. So the next piece I want to ask here is the question, while both are important, right, what you eat versus how much you eat, right, that's the question, how much I eat is more important or what I eat is more important? How much or what? What do you think the answer is?
I don't think it can be just one.
Uh-huh. Say more about that.
Well, I could eat a small serving of just pasta, and it will be, you know, pasta with, say, an Alfredo sauce. So the portion size is small, but the carbs and the calorie content are large. And inverse of that, if I eat, I will freely admit I made skinny eggplant parmesan last night, and I think I ate 3/4 of the eggplant by myself because it was delicious. So... Mm-hmm. You know, there was something that was not extremely high in calories and carbs, but my portion size probably should not have been, I mean, it was not filling because, I don't know, I don't think eggplant is ever filling.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was better for me to eat a couple extra slices of eggplant rather than make that side of pasta.
There you go. Right? So, sounds like both things have an opportunity to be important, right? I like that. Good. That's good. Right. Oh, I see some more old friends joining in. Yay. What else? Who else? What do you think is more important? What you eat or how much you eat?
Hey, Wendy, this is Karen. Hi.
I'm going
to gamble, and I'm going to choose to say what because it's nourishment and fuel for your body.
What you eat is more important. Perfect. I love it. And I'm going to open it up one more time. Anybody else have a thought? Is it how much you eat or what you eat?
This is Leanne. I think it's a little of both.
A little of both, right?
I think they're both very important. We have to feed our bodies with good nutrition, but we also have to manage our portion control. And so I think we have to be mindful of both things.
Right. I would tend to agree. I could go either way. I could go what I eat or I could go what and how much. So there was a survey that was done that showed 62% of people surveyed say the kind of food, right? So what they eat matters more than how much they eat. So the most people would say, gee, well, what I eat is more important than how much, right? So if I eat the chicken breast versus eating the pasta, that would be a what I eat would be more important, right? Chicken breast is going to be low calorie, high protein, zero carbs, satisfying. Hits all the things I need. So that would be a what versus pasta is going to be, you know, really calories, average, protein, pretty much nothing, carbohydrates through the sky, right, through the roof, even if it was a small portion. So what's the nutritional value there versus the nutritional value on the chicken? Chicken would probably be the what, right? What I eat would make the difference. So with that in mind, there have been further research on portion control that said that idea is wrong. The American Journal of Clinical Nutrition found that women who shrank their portions by 25%, right? So if you have a half cup of food and you reduce it down to three-quarters cup of food, right, reduce it 25%, you can potentially slash 250 calories a day by shrinking your portion. And that is enough to help someone lose a half pound of weight per week. A half pound of weight per week simply by reducing your portion. So my thought process kind of ties into what Brooke and Leanne were saying, which is if I'm making the right choice and I pick that chicken breast, right, because that's the low-calorie, high-protein option of the two options I had, the chicken breast or the pasta, and that chicken breast is 6 ounces, or even, you know, just let's just say 6 ounces, and I reduce that by 25%, then I've reduced the calories and I've reduced the protein, but I still have enough calories and enough protein to have satiety and meet my nutritional needs. So therefore, I'm picking the right food, right? What I eat, but I'm also reducing my portion. So the combination of the two will certainly create weight loss, right? The choice that I make and the portion size. You guys follow me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So, and back to the question, how do we know if we are reducing our portion size? How do we reduce it 25%? What are we going to have to do to find out?
Weigh and measure.
Weigh and measure. Right? And if we're looking at nutritional facts on any size portion, right? What are we going to have to do to know how many calories and how much protein is in something?
Start looking at labels.
Start looking at labels. So it's a combination, right? You can weigh and measure all day long, but if you're just weighing and measuring and not actually looking at the content of the food, are you doing yourself a favor by weighing and measuring, really? No, right? You need to be able to know what's in that portion that you're weighing and measuring. Is it 4 ounces? Okay. How many calories are in that? How many proteins are in that? Do you guys think that's easy? Does that come naturally to anybody, weighing and measuring and actually looking at labels?
No, that's why none of us do it.
Ah.
Pain in the butt.
Talk about. Who else thinks that way? It's okay if that's who you are. She said none of us are doing it, right? So she dialed in. 9 years later, Brooke knows.
Well, well I have to do it or it doesn't happen, period.
I have to do it. Is it easy and natural for you?
No, it takes too much time.
Yep.
It takes effort. When I have a limited time to eat, I'm having to sit there and put it in my phone before I eat. But if I don't do it, yeah, it's imperative.
All right. So it takes time. It's not easy. It's not natural. So you have to make yourself do it. Has anybody made themselves do it to the point that it becomes a habit? Yes. Tell me more about that.
I remember when it was a habit and it was just something I did, but it was a different part. It was a different time in my life when I didn't have as many, what I feel like, priorities on my time that I don't, you know, and now I'm not making it a priority because I have so many other things pulling on my time. But I do remember when it was a habit.
Uh-huh.
And I also heard what you shared earlier is that you do have a habit of doing that lunch prep.
I do. Right? And my breakfast also, I do the same exact thing for breakfast every single day. I have a coffee with skim milk, and I have a protein shake every single day. So that is, to me, I know exactly what I'm putting in my body. I know the quantity. I know what the protein and the calorie count is, and same thing for lunch. Those two are super controlled, and it's whatever happens during the rest of my day in terms of snacking, grazing, and dinners that has gone off the chain.
There you go.
So some of the habit is still there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So by making yourself do it, you can create a habit. Right?
Absolutely.
And, yeah. And then it's, again, being able to look at where the opportunities are, where we're not following through with that habit, and making a plan of action one step at a time, one choice at a time, and one challenge at a time, right, to realign your vision with your actions to create the results that you want. Not easy. And probably, more than likely, going to be a continual struggle. That's why there's no perfection, ladies. Right?
Wendy,
that's why we have the opportunity to work on doing better. Right? Somebody wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Hey, it's Leanne. The continual struggle part, I think that's where I'm stuck right now because it really pisses me off that I have to keep doing this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just really having to come to grips with the fact that if I want the same results, I have to keep doing the same thing, and I have to keep doing it forever. And that is so hard for me to accept because it was just easier the first couple of years out than it is right now.
Yep.
'Cause life.
Yes.
You know?
I do. It's true. And I think anybody that you run into that has been down this path for longer than a couple of years would probably agree, right? I heard some chuckles and I heard some head nods out there happening. Right? Anybody want to add to that share about the struggle and the fact that it's bothersome, that it's going to last forever? This work will never end? Sarah, you have some wisdom. I see you taking yourself off the mute. You want to say something there? I called you out. Yes, I did.
Yes, I struggle, and I'm 18 years post-op. I struggle with the way of measuring because it sometimes puts me in a negative headspace with the way of measuring because it puts me back into a diet mentality. And I put the self-blame and shame and all that kind of stuff into it. But I know I have to do it, so I do it. But it works, so that's why I do it. But yeah, that's all.
Well, I love it. And it kind of, oh, and we lost her too. Hopefully she comes back. She's calling us from Australia. So she's way out there. Somewhere out there on another coast in another time frame, but we love Sarah. 18 years post-op she is, ladies. So I'm really glad she was able to share that. And it kind of comes back to everything that we were saying. Someone mentioned earlier, you know, weighing and measuring, when they do it, it works. somebody else mentioned earlier that they haven't been weighing and measuring, and they're in a place where they're in a regain situation. Somebody else mentioned earlier they have to force themselves to do it because if they don't force themselves to do it, it's not going to get done. So, and then Sarah just mentioned it works, right? So at the end of the day, us being in control of our portions is something that more than likely we're going to have to force ourselves to do. And the result of that pressure we put on ourselves to do it, regardless of how much time or energy we have, will, at the end of the day, produce the results we want because it works. I want everybody to think about that for a second. I just want you to shake it out, right? Take your shoulders that are up by your ears, let them drop, literally. Just drop your shoulders right now. And your arms that are hanging there, shake them like spaghetti, right? Like they're just like waving in the air, you know, waving down by your side a little bit. Take a deep breath, right? Let it out. Kind of put on anything that's possible thinking cap. And say to yourself why the idea and the practice of weighing and measuring would matter on your journey. Why would it matter? Right? For me, it matters because I don't want to stretch out my stoma. Right? Skin stretches, even the skin we can't see, tissue stretches, even the tissue we can't see inside our body. Over time, it's going to stretch. And I want to keep it as small as I can because I paid a lot of money for it, right, to get it small. And the way I'm going to keep it small is by knowing how much food I'm putting into my body. My doctor gave me a guideline. The doctor provided how much food I should eat at one time and did not tell me that 10 years later it would be triple the amount. They said it would be the same size, right? They also told me what that food needed to be. I need to pick the certain types of food to put in that portion. Low calorie, high protein first, followed by produce. Those are the things that I'm going to put into that portion that I weigh and measure. Right? And by doing that, along with keeping my surgically altered body, new stomach, tiny and small, I'm also going to be having the energy that I need from the food that I put into that small portion. It's going to taste delicious because I only eat delicious food, right? The food that I eat doesn't make me feel like I'm on a diet because it's damn delicious. And by eating delicious food that meets my surgeon's requirements for protein and nutrition and the small amount that they've asked me to eat, I am going to have many results. I'm going to have weight loss results. I'm going to have weight maintenance results wherever you are on the journey, right? I'm going to have confidence. I'm going to feel good, not only because of the types of food that I'm eating, but also the amount of food. I'm no longer going to feel like I just ate Thanksgiving dinner. I'm going to feel like I was hungry and I ate just enough to get rid of that hunger. I was satisfied. And I'm going to feel good because I did something that was hard. It was something that I had to force myself to do. It was something that I didn't have time for. It was something that I was able to create space in my life to do it because it matters to me. Right?
Hey, Wendy.
Yeah.
Can I ask you to just expand upon the whole delicious part? That's where I struggle a lot. I remember after first being banded, you know, I really didn't have a voracious appetite. I didn't, so I could eat 4 to 6 ounces of just, you know, chicken, and I was so full that it didn't matter what the food was because I didn't have taste buds, really. My taste seemed to change. But now, 9 years later, of course, with the weight gain, my definition of delicious and your definition of delicious are different, and I don't know how to cook to make a one-person serving delicious. Or if I make a dish that has 4 servings, I'm alone here. The portion control becomes a problem then. Any thoughts?
You need a cookbook.
I'm sorry?
You need a cookbook.
I have the cookbook.
Awesome. Those are 1 serving and 2 serving recipes.
Yeah, but honestly, I'm not quite sure I found them delicious. That's my point.
Oh, okay. I hear you.
So
I make them for a while, and then I start to feel like, well, this really sucks. I can't believe I have to eat, you know, whatever it is. The book's downstairs on my kitchen counter. And then I'm just like, God, I really would just like something, you know, like a steak or, you know, something, I don't know, something seasoned better than I could prepare it, I think is the problem, that I've never been a good cook. So whatever I make never seems to be something that is enjoyable enough for my taste buds.
Mm-hmm. So I love that someone gave a shout out to the cookbook, because to me, everything in that cookbook is delicious. But that, you know, that's certainly my palate. It's subjective to what people think is delicious. But I am going to go out here on a edge and suggest and think through, you know, the idea. Oftentimes when we are experiencing a weight gain, we have gone back to eating foods that we used to eat. And those are typically high sugar, high carbohydrate foods, processed foods. And they are created by food manufacturers to make you think that they're the most delicious food you've ever eaten in your life and to have you want to eat more. Right? Sugar, carbohydrates, processed foods have a lot in them that trigger us to want more. To the point sometimes if someone were to open a Reese's cup in front of me and not offer to share, my mouth might salivate. I'm just saying. You know?
Uh-huh.
So I think it has a lot to do with what we're putting in our body and the chemical reaction to that and our desire to have more of it. So I'm really happy, Brooke, to know that you're doing the Back on Track class, because that is going to break you down to the basics of protein and produce for a short period of time. And it's really about, I have found, you know, about detoxing the carbs and sugar out of your body.
Uh-huh.
And I would love for a Karen or a Sarah or a Leanne who's been with me and worked through these things with me in the past to jump in here, because what I find is, you know, 3 days of eating high protein, low carbohydrate, protein first and produce, the idea of eating a piece of fruit that I'm limiting myself from eating that because it's too high in carbs and sugar, that sounds better than any candy bar around day 3 or day 4.
Okay.
Right? Like, I want the natural, healthy, juicy, deliciousness of something fresh, like an apple or a peach, more than I want a bag of potato chips, an ice cream cone, a candy bar, a soda, because my body has had the chance to get rid of the craving for more of the bad stuff, you know, and I say bad in air quotes, right? The sugar,
yeah.
The carbohydrates, the processed stuff. Anybody want to add to that?
Well, Wendy, the one other thing I was going to say that I have started doing, because it's interesting, after my revision, my taste buds have drastically changed, and it's only been 5 weeks. But before, I was a total spiceless. I mean, anything that had the least bit of hot sauce or anything like that was way too spicy for me. All of a sudden, everything was bland. I went into a spice shop, and I bought some really interesting spices. And so you can take a piece of really boring whitefish, for example, that's pretty just bland unless it were to be deep fried and made into, you know, fish and chips. And you put these seasonings on it, and it just kind of comes alive. And so that was the one thing when he says all these foods are, you know, not pleasing. Play around with some spices if you like that. The other thing is in your book, have you tried those chicken roll-ups? Because there is nothing better than those in that cookbook.
the chicken roll-ups, the Sandy's recipe, yeah, I know you made those a long time. It was one of the first things you made and you loved them.
And my husband loved them.
Right, and that's what you need at your house. It's something your husband loves and you'll eat. There you go. The other thing, you know, I feel my husband is 15 years post-op. He'll be 16 years post-op. Oh, actually, September made him 16 years post-op. Wow. I love filet mignon. And he'll make filet in the air fryer, and he just puts salt and pepper on mine. And then he has the hottest of the hot, what he calls make your butt burn the next day hot spice that he puts on his. And he makes his that way. And we don't sit down to eat. We don't have a table where we sit down with a fork and a plate and eat. He makes the filet mignon in the air fryer to both of us, cuts it up, puts it on the counter, and literally one night this week, my dinner was 4 ounces of filet because that was it. And I just went up, grabbed a piece of it, put it in my mouth, and started chewing on it while I'm putting the dishes away, or I am packing my clothes for the gym the next day and unpacking the clothes from today's gym. So for me, I can eat filet mignon for dinner, you know, and no other thing because it's so delicious just with salt and pepper. But he has to have it with a really hot, spicy spice on it for him to enjoy it. So, but that tastes delicious to me, right? So part of the thing I think is, what do you want to eat? What tastes delicious? What's something that you're eating that tastes delicious? That you think, I want to eat that again. Give me an example.
I don't know if specifically I have examples. I'm thinking it's probably more, again, it goes back to the whole effort for all of this. The prep work required to try to create something in the kitchen, you know, even as a chicken breast for me, you know, I can one or two or 3 days in a row at lunchtime, I can take a chicken breast, I can flatten it out, throw a little salt and pepper, you know, fry it or bake it, and I'm satisfied with one chicken breast. But after 3 days, I'm like, if I see another damn chicken breast, I'm going to throw it at the window. So it becomes one of these things where I find something that is fairly nutritional, easy and quick to prepare, but then I get bored with it.
So there you go, right? So you know that about yourself. So beyond 3 days of a chicken breast or any type of meal, that's the farthest extent that you need to go. So you're exactly right. It's the pre-planning, right? Knowing yourself. Spending time to say, I'm going to have 7 lunches this week. I can do this chicken breast for 3. What am I going to do for the other 4? And maybe there's 2 days where you're going to eat something else. What is it? Right? And then there's another 2 or 3 days that you're going to eat something else. What is that? And having it on hand, right, so that you can make it. So that's a piece of it. You're exactly right, is doing some of the pre-planning work to it. Yeah. I, like Leanne, can eat the same breakfast every day. And I usually can do, you know, 2 to 4 days of the same lunch. And I'm not, you know, the first couple of days I love it. The last couple of days I have to kind of convince myself that that's what I'm eating. but, you know, it just kind of depends on the week and the mood and the food.
right? But typically my dinners are a little bit different because I have a little bit more time to make them. I can also eat a little bit more food, and I'm in a more relaxed environment for my evening meal. And I know that I'm going to eat. Now, here's the thing, right? I know if I'm up at 4 a.m. and I'm not going to bed till 10 o'clock p.m., that I'm going to eat three meals and I'm probably going to have 2 to 3 snacks in a day. I know I'm going to be hungry every 3 to 4 hours. So I plan for those snacks, too. You know, which some people get hung up on the idea of a snack as being what we grew up with, candy, ice cream, chips, soda, pop, whatever, and it doesn't have to be that. It can be hummus and cucumber. It can be apple with almond butter. It can be low-sodium deli meat wrapped around a pickle. It can be prosciutto wrapped around a piece of pickled asparagus. It can be a hard-boiled egg with, you know, some 21 seasoning salute from Trader Joe's on it. It can be a cottage cheese with some cucumbers chopped up and put on top of it. It can be a piece of beef jerky, right, or turkey jerky or salmon jerky. So I have to, it can be a protein bar. It can be a protein shake. Like, I have to have these things at my fingertips, and I have to think about them before I'm hungry because I know I'm going to get hungry. I'm human. My body is like a fire, right? Think about your body and your metabolism. When you are camping or at home and you start a fire, it takes a little bit to get all that kindling and wood to start to burn, right? And once it starts to burn, you've got this big flame, and you have all this energy. Right? So after you eat, that's the same thing. You've got this flame, you have all this energy. Well, over time, what happens to the fire? It starts to die out. So does my energy, right, as so much time passes by. Well, when the fire starts to die out, what do? We add more flame, right, more fuel to that fire to keep it going. We want to have the heat at the fire at our campsite. Same thing with our bodies and our food. When hours start to pass by where we haven't eaten, our bodies, if we're paying attention to our signals, we're going to start to realize that we need to fuel our body again to have that energy. So we put more food in it, right? And at the end of the day, when it's time to go to, you know, close out the campsite, go into your tent and crash, what do? You go ahead and you let that fire burn out. We don't need that energy of that fire anymore. Same thing at the end of the day in our eating world. You know, we stop eating at a certain point because we're going to sleep. We don't need that same energy that we needed throughout the day. So we're not on a diet. We're not trying, you know, holding on with our fingertips saying we cannot eat. Even though we're hungry, we cannot eat. We're eating when we're physically hungry. And we're making the right choices at the right time of day to fuel ourselves with, right? So, yes, Brooke, you got to think of it in advance, and you got to know, hey, I can't eat chicken breast 5 days in a row. I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what will you do? Right? That's the question. What will I do, and how do I make that happen? Does that help?
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to kind of like the whole weighing and measuring is such a pain. The constant need for policing in the kitchen to me is just an overwhelming, discouraging process. Just everything about being in the kitchen. And I'm pretty sure that's why I have the Regained, because I just, you know, feel like it's always such a major, nothing else in my life, you know, effort-wise. I have a job, I can work, I take care of household duties, I can maintain my friendships with my family, but it just seems that the effort needed for the food portion of my life is just overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. So what I would recommend, I know you're going to do the Back on Track class, I think that's a great place to start. I would also recommend one-on-one coaching.
Okay.
To walk through the hard. It's not something we're going to be able to break down in this setting, But certainly some one-on-one coaching to help you kind of work through that and break it down into small chunks. Because, you know, overwhelming is a real feeling. I get it. And so we got to back it all the way down and start at square one and work through one thing at a time, right, in that kitchen. But you're not alone. I mean, I think everybody here could agree that food is a big issue for this, and weighing and measuring is, you know, we didn't even get into all the information I wanted to talk to about portion control, but I do feel like we had a good discussion here this morning. So
it was good.
Good.
Yeah, thank you.
You know what, Wendy, no matter what, I mean, you know, like if we were drug addicts or alcoholics, we could distance ourselves from those addictions, but we have to eat.
Yeah.
We have to eat, and we have to shop for our food, and we have to make choices about food, and, you know, it would be great if we could take a pill to get our nutritional needs met every day, but that's just simply not the world we live in. So I think I'll always battle this.
Yeah, it's an ongoing battle, absolutely, and that's why we have to stick together, right? That's why we have to have these conversations. That's why we have to show up. And give time and space for ourselves to be involved in these conversations. That's why we have to say it's okay not to be perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have to say the energy it takes every day to wake up and say, I'm going to try again, it's real, right? It's a real thing. So we need as much positive influence and as much positivity in our lives that we can get. We want to surround ourselves with people that understand. We want to talk through the hard pieces, and we want to celebrate the stuff that we're doing really well so we can build upon that. And then we have to get enough rest so that we can wake up and be willing to do it all over again. And it's exhausting, right? There is no easy in this game. It may become easier at certain times and with certain things, but it's a lot of heavy lifting. And there really is no easy about it. It just sometimes becomes easier, right? So head up. Remember that little conversation we were having with ourselves after we released our shoulders and shook out our hands and took that deep breath, right? What are you going to be willing to do? How are you going to do it? And if you need help or support, Sandy and I, WLS Success Matters, are here. We've been around since 2013. We're not going anywhere. We offer 24/7 support and education and coaching in our weekly weigh-in group, which is becoming, for we always do, hanging through the holidays, the last 9 to 10 weeks of the year. It's on our website. It's $99 to join us and have unlimited support through Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, and whatever other holidays you might celebrate. Fourth quarter of 2018. Most of our clients have been with us on an average of 4 of the last 7 years. They're like family. They don't go away. We love them. We stick together through loss, grief, celebration, revision, non-weight loss surgery, you name it. So you can find out about that on our website, WLSSuccessMatters.com. I'm going to be here until 9:30. It's 9:05 on the West Coast. So some of you have very busy schedules ahead of your day, so go right on ahead and enjoy your weekend. Thanks for being here. If not, I'm going to be here until 9:30, and that's 25 more minutes. And I'm happy to answer questions or discuss anything that matters to you at this point. But if you need to leave, adios. Have a great weekend. And, again, thanks for being here. And then if you're here to stay, the floor is yours. What do you got? What do you want to talk about? So several people dropped off, but several people are still here. So it's
I
all
can
about
stay,
you.
But I don't have a thought until someone spearheads the conversation.
Gotcha.
Start talking about something and I can chime in.
There you go. Well, you're welcome. You're welcome to go, but we have some people on the line, so let's see if they have anything to share.
Can you hear me, Wendy?
Yes.
Okay. I had two mute. I'm in driving, so I had both my phone and my car muted, and like was talking to myself. Anyway, okay. So this is very, I'm sure, unique. It's just I had a total freak out yesterday because for people who are listening, I was a lap band patient, got a leak. Anyway, I just had a revision to an RNY, and I've been doing very well, not hungry, you know, calories ranging around the 600, making sure I get my at least 60 of protein in. And then yesterday, I ate everything appropriately, but when I was adding up everything last night, here I had like 96 grams of protein and 1,000 calories. And you know what? That it was just me and my brain, but that did a major freak out on me, shall I say, that I've not yet been able to even come close to consuming that volume over the course of the day. What am I saying? I think I just need to be talked off of a ladder that I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to screw this all up again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does, right? So that's pretty much early on, name of the game, right? Recovering from surgery, all that. You know, all the jazz that goes on in your body when you have that procedure. Right? So you're healing and recovering, and over time, you are going to eat more than 600 calories in a day. Right? And what did you say, 5 weeks, Karen? Right?
Yes. So, yeah, it'll actually be six weeks Monday.
Right. And I bet 60 grams of protein is not your actual minimum for your doctor, big picture. That's minimum for your doctor in recovery, yeah?
Yeah, 60 to 80 is what they want, yeah.
Right. So it's a progression thing. It's going to change over time. As you heal, you're going to be able to eat more, right, which is going to get you up to the higher protein count, which it sounds like it did. And what comes along with higher protein count?
It's more calories.
More calories, right. And you really weren't that far off, 1,096. You're not far off from a 10 to 1. So that tells me you're picking the right food choices.
Yes.
Right.
Very careful about that, yeah.
Right. So it wasn't 10,000 calories, it was 1,000.
Which 8 weeks ago would have been wonderful.
Right. Exactly. So that's pretty much on point. I mean, for myself, at almost 10 years post-op, you know, if I eat 1,200 calories in a day, that's a lot of food. Right? And so, you know, 1,000 to 1,200 calories is pretty common. It's pretty standard. So I don't have any worry about that for you. What do you think?
I'm sorry, what?
I don't have any worry about that for you. I think that's normal progression. What do you think?
You know, it's one of those where I am being very strict about only weighing myself once a week because I have met two other gals that had surgery the same day I did, and they're daily weighers, and then so they start freaking out because the scale doesn't move, which is very common at the, you know, 3 to 4 week post-op. And I know that, and so it's like just don't even play those mind games. But the minute I hit that, I mean, when I saw that, it was like, oh my gosh, that's almost twice as much. Now I'm going to quit losing. It's nothing more than a mind thing that if I were talking to someone else, I could be able to rationally reassure them, but I can't do that to myself.
Right. Well, the other thing here, Karen, is you can't live for the rest of your life on 600 calories.
That is true. It's not healthy.
No, especially with the job that you have and the fitness level that you hope to reach again.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's not sustainable. So, you know, I can't remember what the number is. I can't remember what the number is, but I can see the vision of your chart in my head. So...
if you've lost, I'm going to guess, 20 to 25 pounds, if not more, in the last 5 weeks?
Uh-huh. Yeah, about 20 pounds.
Yeah. So the lighter you get, you know this, the less you weigh, the harder it's going to be to lose weight.
Right.
Number one. And number two, as you progress into the healing phase and getting back into your normal routines of life, you are going to need to eat more than 600 calories a day.
Right.
So, and that's also going to equate to you becoming more physically active over time.
Right? Yes.
So all of it goes together. It's not just calories are not the only thing that create weight loss, correct?
Correct. Correct.
Right? So, and you have a weekly weigh-in, right? You weigh in one time a week. You will continue to lose weight. You have the gold standard of surgery.
Yes.
Right? So I think it's really, really wise of you to reach out and have this conversation and talk through those mental roadblocks so that you don't sabotage yourself in some way.
Well, that was honestly last night when I saw that, I went, oh, my gosh. And I actually walked out to the garage, and I was going to go steal one of my husband's cookies.
Yeah.
I've not done anything like that. And it was like, oh, my gosh, if I ate that much, what's going to be another, 100 calories? And I walked out there, and I saw where his containers were over there, and I thought, what in the hell are you doing? Get yourself back in that house and go to bed. And I did. So I did not eat one. A, also, I did not want the potential consequences. But, yeah, it's that same thing that so many people struggle with. They didn't do surgery on our brains.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's way too early. So, if you eat 1,000 calories, and you never know, your body might actually need more food. You may produce a greater loss this week than you could ever imagine. What if?
Right.
And if you lose less weight this week than you lost last week, well, because you weigh less. And the lighter you get, the harder it's going to be to lose weight. Just that's the truth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And who knows, today I may not be as hungry. I may not eat as many of my small, because many times I have to go, okay, you haven't eaten in 4 hours, you need to eat something, because, there have been a few days I could have eaten once during the entire day, and I know that's not healthy. There's a, 200 calories a day is not okay.
Well, and you're not going to, it's not even that. 20 grams of protein is not okay.
Right.
Right. At this point, it's not about calories, Karen. It's about protein.
Protein. All right.
And that's you're pretty close to the 10-to-1 deal, right? So that means you're picking the right food.
Right.
Now, if you were 1,000 calories and 30 proteins, we'd have a problem.
Right. Okay. And I think part of it, I've never had 96 proteins, I think, before in my life. So that is definitely picking the better. And I am healing from my foot surgery, which I need the proteins for that, too. So, All right. I'm good for today. Thank you.
Yay. Good. I'm glad. I love you. I mean that. You know it. So good.
Well, and you know how much I love you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be in a whole total different place.
Yay. Good. Excellent. Anybody else have anything to add or share or questions?
I'm just curious. I'm supposed to have some, proof that I was at the meeting.
So you can, what's your name?
Mackenzie Cochran.
Mackenzie. So, Mackenzie, you can send us an email. Our email is wlssuccessmatters@gmail.com.
Okay.
So it's just like it sounds, WLS, which stands for weight loss surgery, right? WLS, success matters, just like it sounds, at gmail.com.
And let us know that you need you need us to confirm that you were at today's meeting, that you were here in attendance. And I will email you back, and then you can send that to your bariatric office.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thank you so much.
Any other questions? What are you taking away today, Mackenzie?
Just to keep on keeping on and, you know, just worry, take one day at a time.
Mm-hmm. Are you currently weighing and measuring your food as a pre-op patient?
No.
Give it a shot. And maybe you'll understand what these ladies are talking about from the challenge, because you're going to need to do it when you're post-op, so why not try it now? What do you think?
Well, I think I might do that.
Give it a shot. Let us know how you like it, how it goes for you.
Okay.
Is it easy? Is it hard? Is it natural? Do you hate it? Do you love it?
Okay, yeah, I'll give it a shot.
All right, cool. I look forward to seeing your email, and feel free to join us again.
Okay, thank you so much.
You bet. Take good care. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You bet. Anybody else? Well, if nobody else has anything to add, comment, share, or ask, I will say it's the end of the day for us.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. I look forward to having you with us again, Brooke. Take a look at, you'll be doing the Back on Track class. You should really, really, really consider our Hanging Through the Holidays group. Both Karen, who's been talking, and Sarah and Leanne, they're all in the group, and they'll be with us for the end of the year. It's something, your Hanging Through the Holidays group will start November 6th or something, basically around the first week of November. And it goes through to December 31st, where your Back on Track program will start the 8th of October, and it'll end before Thanksgiving. So
okay.
We find that most people, once they do the Back on Track class, they join us for our weekly weigh-in group, which at the end of the year we call it Hanging Through the Holidays.
Okay.
So certainly take a look at that. On our website, talk to Sandy about it. She'll be teaching your Back on Track class too, so if you have any questions, you can certainly ask Sandy. Karen and Sarah, would you have anything to say to her about Back on Track or about Hanging Through the Holidays?
What I was just going to say when you were talking about Sarah talking too?
Yeah.
Anyway,
she says, go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, in regards to the weekly weigh-in group, the Back on Track, first off, is absolutely awesome. It's life-changing. I have taken it twice. At the same time, when I say that, it's something that you don't, the refreshers are great because it's something you have to do on a daily basis. Weekly lifetime basis. It's not like one class is going to cure you, just like one surgery doesn't fix everything. But the weekly weigh-in, what is wonderful for me about that is while there may be times I'm not as active in it, the reality is you use that for whatever you need, be it just your daily accountability. If when I'm having problems remembering to track my food and log my food, I can use that just to post my numbers at the end of the day. It's totally up to you what you want. You get out of it what you put into it and what you want out of it.
Mm-hmm. True.
It's worth every penny, without a doubt, to me.
There you go. Excellent. There you go. And Sarah's way on the other side of the world, 18 years post-op. She surprises me every day. Sarah, what do you want to add? Anything?
I just second everything that was just said, and I actually started with the Hanging in the Holidays last year and then did Back on Track. And my nemesis was activity, and I worked with Wendy, and my activity is no longer my nemesis, so and I do the weekly weigh-ins, and I try and do weekly activities, but like the weighing, measuring ones, I don't track as well. So, but I know that. So that's, I just participate where I can. And so that's why I'm saying that you just do what you do, and there's things that you need to work on, and you choose what you do and what you don't do.
Yep.
And there's no, and it's, you're not working against everyone else. It's your challenge. It's for you, but the support is there from everyone else.
Yep. Perfect. I love it. So hopefully, Brooke, that gives you some insight to what we do here as a family at WLS Success Matters.
Well, I've been following along for many years, kind of dipped my toe in once or twice, but never really jumped in head first. So Monday is the I guess technically today is the beginning of it. I have a whole bunch of posts and things and everything to read from Sandy. My materials are going to show up the day after class, so I'm going to try to do as much as I can to get prepared for class. So
well, you'll
that's
be
my
fine.
Afternoon today.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect, perfect. All right. Well, welcome to the family, Brooke. And thank you, Karen and Sarah. I love you both. I appreciate you. Somebody I know named Wendy has a date with the gym, and it's her day off, sort of, kind of, but I'm working, so she's going to exit stage left. And I will see some of you online in a minute. And Brooke, best to you, and know that we're here for you in every way that we can be. So don't hesitate to reach out, okay?
Thank you. Thanks to everyone on the call today.
Oh, right. Thank you, and welcome. It's okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Have a great day, Wendy.
Yes.
Bye,
bye
all.
Guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.